then we would use the old Swiss Square location for an additional 60. Those total together equal 128, so we would have sufficient parking based on maximum occupancy. Next slide, Rob. And then just real quick, as we talked about, here's the proposed MAC location here on the far right, and on left is old Swiss Square parking. I estimate that to be a 2-block walk if someone had to do that. Next slide. Then here's option two. If it wasn't considered feasible to use the Swiss Square facility, we could put all of this in one facility, but 64, or one location, 64 spaces would go under the building. And so we would dig a large hole and they would just put parking underneath that. That would lead to 132 total parking spaces. Next slide. And then we talked about the driveway. The main MAC driveway has been moved to be entirely on site. There's currently two entry driveways, and obviously the MAC, we will work with UDOT to follow any guidelines that they would recommend. Any questions on the parking?
It was mentioned that your preferred approach is to use the shared parking. Is that just because of from a cost perspective?
Yeah, it'd be less expensive. We wouldn't have to dig a large hole to do underground parking.
Yeah, okay. I guess my concern would be, and this was expressed at our last meeting, if that was the case, it would be easy for people to just park in front of Lupita's and maybe fill up that parking lot, and then they might not have room for their customers.
Question. But what you'll see in most areas, if you don't want people parking for the theater there, you just put up a sign and say, this is not theater parking, it's only for
people can't
see that in a lot of locations.
So, question two on your 500 patrons, how does that compare to your current, like the current shows they'd have in the summer? How's that size compare?
That's it.
It's the same thing.
It's the same.
Okay.
And so again, the last 14 years, we'll typically do a summer show and a winter show, and so we've had those type of crowds coming into town. So we've already experienced it.
So it's essentially the exact same as what we've had.
Yes.
Hey, Rob, one point of clarity, that's an audience size of 450, and then the other 50 would be participants in the production and performance of the event.
Okay.
Correct.
Question for you. Back up one slide, if you would, please. You're saying you need 125 spaces?
Correct.
However, Hale's Trip Generation is stating 225.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, Hale's Trip Generation states there's 225 trips that will be needed, but your slide's showing 125.
Is that trips like to and from, total, like round trip? Or?
Okay.
It's this sheet, maximum trip generation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the 125 spaces is to accommodate those that are gonna be in the building.
Okay.
Maximum would be 500.
My mistake, I see.
Okay, no problem, thanks. Any other questions?
Yeah, so you are proposing entering into a parking lease with Old Swiss Square. What happens if that building is sold? What happens if that current ownership no longer owns that building? Then what?
Yeah, so Bill's here. Bill, would you like to address that? What are your plans? Are you going to make a change?
Well,
pull the rug out underneath us?
I might die, too.
Bill Fairbanks, I live in Linden. I don't know if you need an address or not, but we've had quite a bit of discussion about this, and that was one of the issues too. It can actually be recorded, the lease can be recorded with the county so that it carries on with the building. It's specific, so that it doesn't interfere with our day use. The night use and weekend use in that building is very sparse.
Does that answer your question?
And what is the term of the lease that you've negotiated?
It's a 10-year lease with 10-year extensions.
At whose option?
Yep.
At whose option?
At their option.
Okay.
And if they decide, I'm going to project down the road, let's say 5 or 10 years from now, somebody develops around them and they're able to get a cross easement on parking, they'll probably just drop what we have and go with something closer. But for right now, this is what works for them.
Okay.
So this is a temporary fix. There's no permanent guarantee that those spaces will remain.
It's a 10-year lease with 10-year extensions at their choice. If they want it for another 10 years, they can do that, and another 10 years after that. So.
And that choice is High Valley Arts?
Yes, it is.
But there could be something in the conditional use. So, I mean, this doesn't apply really to this stage, but when the conditional use is approved, we could have a requirement in there that parking is obtained. So if they switch sites, that it's always maintained in perpetuity. So that'd be something we could easily do in the conditional use application.
This specific site or just the numbers?
Well, just in general. So if this specific, if High Valley Arts wanted to change it to somewhere else, they could do that, and with the stipulation would be they'd always have to have a certain number of stalls.
Yeah, correct, so, but unless it's under their control, I don't know how we can guarantee that. If they get into a dispute, if something happens and those spaces go away, we have a facility that has inadequate parking.
Yeah, it's recorded, so
it's
that's
proposed to be recorded, right? Are you willing to encumber your property?
I've agreed to do that. That's what I told them.
The lease is legally binding as long as we want to extend it. It is in perpetuity at our choice. And of course, we're not going to give up the parking if we need the parking, right? So that's not an issue, really. It's there now in perpetuity. And you can look at the lease document and see it right there. It's legal. It doesn't have to be recorded, but it will be.
Michael, if the parking went away, the building was sold and the new owner wasn't willing to renew the lease, can there be restrictions on the number of seats sold in a facility based on the parking available?
So from my understanding, a new owner wouldn't be able to not renew the lease.
Yeah.
It's always up to High Valley Arts to renew it. And so they couldn't have the rug pulled out of
Oh, even okay. So a new
so
owner would have to.
So a new owner, they're bound to that.
Okay. Okay.
But if they did find parking closer, then they could decide not to renew it, and they'd have to have another cross parking agreement approved by the city in order to use that other parking. But that could be an option in the future.
Okay.
I've done quite a few cross easements on parking in some other facilities that we've developed over the years, and it works out well. And actually, the infill back and forth works out exceptionally well, to the point where it's just doesn't become an issue at all anymore. So.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding parking?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good. So just in summary, we've got two options. They both cover the parking, as you just heard from the order. We can cover it via the lease agreement under option one, or we can do it under option two. So parking shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Next slide. Again, Michael did a terrific job of covering this. Go ahead and go one more. So it feels like I'm being a little bit redundant, but in the spirit of clarity, I'll hit this quickly. So you've received three different traffic studies. Michael's comment was that two of the three are not specific to the MAC and thus are helpful, but probably not complete. Is that fair, Michael? Yeah. And then the third is specific to the MAC, and it's also helpful, but there's probably more work that needs to be done here, and so we're prepared to do that at the right time. Barry also made the point that we're dealing with 14 years of history here with performances, and so there's not a question of traffic being incrementally more congested with the MAC than it is today. There will be more performances per year, and he provided a sheet, which I'll cover in just a moment, so you have more nights per year, but not more traffic. And just as a friendly reminder, the traffic will be on peak hours, 7 to 7:30 in, after 9 p.m. out. Children's shows will end earlier, 9-ish. Adult shows typically end after 10 o'clock. And, a quick math exercise is that you can clear 125 cars in 10 minutes with an average say car number one, one, two, three, four, five, car number two. It'll probably be twice that fast if there's no traffic on the road. We've got a little simulation video we're gonna show here in just a minute. So as I said, more events per year, but not more traffic, and obviously we need to do more impact studies here at the right time. Next slide, please. You've asked for a schedule or a quantification of the number of shows per year. Adult shows, typically we would have about 110 cars per night. Kids shows, roughly half that. And so year one, we're expecting 105 adult shows, 30 kids shows, 135 total, and then that would peak out and max out at 228 days a year by year five, which would be a mix of 168 and 50. One thing that we think is good is there'd be more than 90 days a year just available for local community events that we could make the MAC available for. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide and show the simulation. What I would tell you is the simulation, we're not spectacular simulators, so bear with us a little bit. All we're trying to demonstrate with the simulation is congestion. So what you're gonna see is 55 cars going in and out of a parking lot in 10 minutes. Twice.
Not in real time.
Close though, I think. So what is the difference here? What's this?
It's actually just repeating the same video twice, Jeff.
Oh, just to show the volume. Okay.
I just told you to use your magic. Okay.
Yeah. But these cars are not trying to pull out into traffic, right?
Right.
This is a closed area.
No.
There is some traffic out there on a Sunday.
That's string.
Like I said, we're not simulation experts. It was just intended to demonstrate the congestion point. I think there's more work to be done on it. So anyway, I hope that was modestly helpful. We're not reading too much into that, but as you can see, there's minimal congestion.
Can I ask a question first?
Sure.
So you've got three, the big theater and then two smaller theaters, right?
Yes.
And you've said that you'll only use one theater at a time. What's the assurance that that would be the case?
I'm going to ask Sue or Stu to comment on that.
Don't have enough bathrooms, you don't double up your event. So there will be just enough bathrooms to hold the adult theater. And so there's not enough bathrooms to have, for example, three events going on at the same time, so there can only be one.
So if
you just won't schedule multiple events.
Yeah, we will not schedule, it's impossible.
Okay, so if somebody in the community came and said we'd like to use one of the smaller theaters while the things going on, you'd say no.
Well, we will be in charge of the schedule,
right,
and they will get the schedule and choose what's available, but we will choose the schedule as to what events happen, and we have from the very beginning known that we will not schedule more than one event at a time at night.
Okay.
So that's also a reasonable condition we can put in the conditional use.
Is
that kind of stipulation saying they can only use one theater at a time.
Okay.
That's the time really to handle that.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff, our hope is with 90 plus available dates per year that there will be ample opportunity for people to schedule.
Right, and they could do it during the day, use the smaller theaters for recitals and things.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna try
to one more, and actually I think maybe this is more for Wes. When that light goes in on River Road, I think that's gonna